I admit that's a faster meditation song than usual, so we hope that you meditated more intensely.
Well, we will now say our intense affirmations. If you would join me, please. I am a joyous being of light. I am the love of God in expression. I am grateful for all that I am. I am one with the abundant nature of the universe. I am healthy, active, whole, and happy. I am at peace, knowing everything I need comes to me in the perfect time and in the perfect way. And on this fourth Sunday, we will be saying our prayer, followed by the Alleluia. Mother, Father, Principle, Spirit Divine, who dwells in all, we are grateful for your infinite blessings. As we align with divine will to co-create heaven on earth, you fulfill all our needs. We embrace all of life, knowing you also embrace all of life. We know you are always present. Your love, power, and presence are right here, right now, and always, and so it is. Okay. Guessing will continue with her series, taking us down the road towards Bethlehem.
This is new. What is this little box?
It actually is a little wireless microphone. You can actually put it on the wall and walk around.
Interesting, that would require walking away from my notes. Walking away from my notes, I don't know about that. Okay. Goodness. All right, let's see. Can I share my screen, please? Dear friends. Sharing. What do you see?
Let me know you want me to join in.
Okay.
She's
all right, am I there?
Yes.
Okay. There we go.
Okay.
There. Can we see it?
Yes.
Are we good? Okay. All right, so sorry about that. I was like, oh no, I couldn't see what I wanted. Okay. Friends, thank you for continuing with me on this trip to Bethlehem. We are in stage 3. And so first, let me take a moment to apologize for how long it has taken us to get to stage 3. As you may know, we were supposed to touch stage 3 in June. My mother ended up in the hospital, and I spent the next 6+ weeks between the hospital and the skilled nursing facility being there for my mom. And so then in July, when we would have picked up stage 3, we had the honor of having a new speaker on that particular Sunday that I was not able to be here for because of other family obligations. So here we are in August, and now we are going to take a little bit longer on our journey than originally intended. And hopefully you are all okay with continuing with me in whatever pace it is that we end up following in order to get where we are going. So as I mentioned, we are continuing our trip to Bethlehem. And this is based on this lovely little book, The Trip to Bethlehem, The Traditional Christmas Story as a Guide to Spiritual Transformation, written by Hypatia Hasbrouck. And you may remember that in November, I made an attempt at covering the entire text and felt that it really deserved a deeper, a more intentional sort of trip, shall we say. All right. So we're going to start with talking about the foundations for this journey. So Bible stories have 3 levels of meaning: the literal, the moral, and the metaphysical. In unity, we are free to determine for ourselves if we believe the Bible as factual truth. We believe in a metaphysical interpretation of the Bible, meaning that it is a meaning beyond the physical. So we are allowed to really kind of take it in and determine what it means for us beyond the actual physical story. When we interpret Bible stories metaphysically, we find personal meanings beyond the words that are printed on the page, and that is the hidden meaning that exists for each and every one of us. In order for the Jesus story to be a myth or untrue, however, we have to accept a few things. So we have to consider, if we believe that the Jesus story is a myth, then we believe that a committee of Jews fabricated a man to be the Messiah, that they created a background for this man out of myths from the Romans, Egyptians, Greeks, Syrians, Hindus, Buddhists, and Chinese. If we believe that it is only a myth, then we believe that they gave this man the made-up Messiah character traits that flew in the face of society, such as the acceptance of women as equals, tolerance of non-Jews, friendship with sinners, and forgiveness of the Romans. If we believe that the Jesus story is only a myth, then we also have to accept that these men portrayed themselves badly and knowingly risked their own lives, some suffering death while steadily proclaiming faith in their lie. Now, since I have a hard time believing that all of these things could be true, then I have to believe that the Jesus story is true. And truth is more than mere fact. Truth is the invisible eternal principles which underlie everything that appears in the outer world. We need to remember that this is a journey, and that it is a very personal journey. We are all in a constant state of moving along within this journey, transitioning between one stage and another, and sometimes stepping back a few into previous stages. And that success is not a linear path, and neither is travel. So we are constantly moving forward, circling back, and then we move again forward as we go through life, as well as this particular journey. And we accept the process and wherever we are in it, even if it means that we are only hitting stage 3 in month 9 of our journey. So in unity, we recognize 12 powers. And these are spiritual tools for an abundant life. And we have these powers and they are inherent to each of us as children of God. We believe that when developed, these powers or these faculties, as some may call them, can lead us to a life of unspeakable joy and glory. These particular powers, they correlate with specific parts of the body. They are also represented in the 12 months of the year, the 12 disciples of Christ, and by 12 colors. Silver this month, right? Awesome. As there are 12 stages to this journey, it may not come as a surprise that each stage corresponds to one of the 12 powers. Don't know. Sorry. Okay, there we go. Apples, they do weird things when you touch them. All right, so in stage one, we explored renunciation, which was the weakening of the egocentricity, the inner Herod, the bad guy. All right, so for this journey, we have to release our inner Herod, and the only enemy of the newborn Christ is in our Christmas story is that Herod, that egocentric ego is the only enemy to our inner Christ. So we have to be willing to let it go and move forward. Herod represents that egocentric ego, and egocentricity is defined as limited in outlook or concern to one's own activities or needs. It is a self-centered person, so we have to let go of our self-centered tendencies in order to be on this journey. Stage two is to follow the star. It is to seek wisdom. And in this one, wisdom is the ability to discern the best or most godlike way to make use of knowledge and to judge on the basis of principle. It is righteous and impartial. So stage two, we step into wisdom. Okay, stop doing that. One finger. Not two fingers on the touchpad. Okay. All right, stage three, this is where we are now. And this is grace and understanding. So we're gonna talk a bit about grace and then reflect on some understanding. And then we wanna start here with an affirmation. And our affirmation here is Jesus Christ is now here, raising me to his consciousness of divine understanding. And all my eternal activities are spiritual. Okay, so that is our affirmation here with understanding. And we'll touch back on it here in a little bit. So with grace and understanding, stage three starts the actual transformation of consciousness by revealing our potential for embodying grace. What is grace? Anybody have a thought on what is grace?
Unmerited favor.
Okay. Any other thought? She said unmerited favor.
Source flowing through us.
Okay. Any other thoughts?
Alignment with source.
Okay. All right. So grace in between the trip to Bethlehem, the lessons in truth, the the quest,
yes.
All of those things together, we're going to say that grace is the generous love and mercy of God, and that they are always active. Now, in the book The Quest, they go on to talk a great deal about how grace is always present. Grace is the love of God that is given to us freely, that we do nothing in order to receive it. It is always available to us. They also go on further to explain that all we have to do is turn towards God and seek God, and God will come and meet us more than halfway. God is always giving more than we are seeking to receive. That God is always reaching further and faster than we are. And they correlate it with the parable of the prodigal son and how the son took his inheritance and he went out and he squandered it. And when he realized that he was living a life lower than that of his father's servants,
He thought maybe he should go home. And when he was on his way home, his father saw him in the distance, and rather than being angry with him for having taken his inheritance and squandering it away, he ran to him. All the son had to do was start his journey home, and his father ran to him. And his father welcomed him back with open arms and set up a feast in his honor, and there was celebration, and he was reenfolded into the household. All we have to do is seek God, and God will do everything that God can in order to bring us back in and welcome us with open arms and give us all that we need. And this is sort of a roundabout way of describing grace. And it's just one of those things that all of the different things that I read, they all kind of come together into this idea that this is generous love and mercy. So in our nativity story, Gabriel's appearance at the right side of the altar to tell Zechariah that despite his and Elizabeth's rather advanced age, they will produce a son is an example of grace as an unexpected blessing. So that was another thing that had come up in all the texts that I had reviewed, was that sometimes it's an unexpected thing. So if we're sitting around and all of a sudden there's this wonderful gift dropped in our lap and we're like, we didn't deserve this. Sure, on some level we can believe we didn't deserve it, but God believed that we did. And God gave it to us out of grace. And the child that is to be named John, and John means grace. And this signifies that it is God's gracious will that we also express grace in our dealings with one another and with all parts of our inner selves. When we recognize our essential oneness with other people, love and mercy govern our dealings with them, and we acquire the illumined intellect that forms moral nature. So up until this point in history, it was believed that God's grace could only be expressed through the nobles or those who are especially favored by God. But it was with this birth of John, the child of two elderly human parents, that we came to the realization, and that it symbolizes that humanity had now matured enough to develop a new moral nature so that anyone can be a channel for grace. Anyone can be that channel for the generous love and mercy of God. Now, through the Christ, our own indwelling divinity, we have access to infinite power. We understand that, right? We are capable of all of the things that Christ did and more if we can just figure out how to reach that point of truly understanding it and embracing it and believing it. So it is essential that we have this step where we embody John the Baptist, we embody grace. We embody this illumined intellect and moral nature. It's essential that we hit this step in this stage, because without it, we may allow our egocentric ego to come to the forefront. And we need to keep that in check, because we run the risk, if we don't keep it in check, we run the risk of somehow falling into the error of believing that we are the only expression of Christ. If we are truly self-centered and we cannot let go of those egocentric pieces of ourselves, then we start to believe that we are the expression of Christ. And I can't help thinking that perhaps this is where some, will say groups, start to believe that their way is the only way. They're stuck in the egocentric. They haven't reached the ability to look at the world with grace, with love and generosity, and realize that there are many ways, many paths. So if we run into this space of not keeping our ego in check because we've not embraced our own inner John the Baptist. We've not embraced grace and understanding. We also run into the possibility of misusing our Christ power. So just as it is important to deal with every aspect of our psyche with grace, with generous love and mercy, it is only in accepting and integrating all parts of ourselves, those parts that we perhaps put in the dark corner of our mind, those pieces that we like to shun and turn our back on and pretend that they don't exist because somebody at some point told us they were bad. It is not until we can fully embrace them and incorporate them into who we are and see them with grace, with love and understanding, that we can move toward wholeness and our own unique expression of our higher self. In Lessons in Truth by Emily Cady, she says this about understanding. Understanding is a spiritual birth, a revelation of God within the heart of man. You may have an intellectual perception of truth. You may easily grasp with the mind the statement that God is the giver of all good gifts, of life, health, love, just as people have for centuries grasped it. Or you may go further and intellectually see that God is not only the giver, but the gift itself. That he is life, health, love in us. But unless truth is revealed to you by my Father in heaven, it is of no practical benefit to you or to anyone else. This revelation of truth to the consciousness of a person is spiritual understanding. So when you can look around and realize that you are a part of God and God is a part of you, then you can move forward. So as we gain greater understanding of ourselves and treat all aspects of our own being with love and mercy, we are better able to extend grace to others and to be that channel of grace on earth. Gradually, we realize, as Jesus taught, that despite our differences, we all have the same infinite potential. I want to take a moment and reflect on some scripture. So Proverbs 3:13, and what I have on the screen here is 3:13, and I'm actually going to read for you 3:13 through 19. And this is from the New American Standard Bible, this particular version. How blessed is the man who finds wisdom and the man who gains understanding. For her profit is better than the profit of silver, and her gain better than fine gold. She is more precious than jewels, and nothing you desire compares with her. Long life is in her right hand. In her left hand are riches and honor. Her ways are pleasant ways, and all her paths are peace. She is a tree of life to those who take hold of her, and happy are all who hold her fast. The Lord by wisdom founded the earth, and by understanding he established the heavens. All right. So ladies and gentlemen, with that, let's go into meditation. So please sit comfortably in your space. If possible, your back straight and your arms and legs uncrossed and your eyes closed. Take 10 deep breaths, focusing on your breathing. Just breathing. Now as you inhale, imagine there is a gold light entering through the crown of your head. Hold your breath. Imagine the light increasing and radiating through your entire being. And exhale while imagining that light radiating from you out into the world. Now, as you breathe in, think of nothing. And if you have a hard time truly clearing your mind, then think on the word nothing as you inhale. And understanding as you exhale. Nothing and understanding. Nothing and understanding. Now, in the sanctuary of your inner priest, burns incense at the altar, and the fragrant smoke rises like a prayer for illumination. For you would know the truth. You wait in silence for a time. Then a voice speaks in this sanctuary, astounding your inner priest. It is never too late to let thought and feeling combine to bring forth a new moral nature. You can express divine grace. Let knowledge of the law be illuminated by the light of God's love, and deal mercifully with yourself and with all persons, even as God deals mercifully with you. Take a few moments and focus your energy on God's gifts of grace and understanding. Now, friends, as you return to this time and this space, allow your eyes to flutter open and gradually become aware of your body and surroundings. Give thanks for this experience and affirm, Jesus Christ is now here raising me to his consciousness of divine understanding, and all my mental activities are spiritual. Jesus Christ is now here raising me to his consciousness of divine understanding, and all my mental activities are spiritual. Jesus Christ is now here raising me to his consciousness of divine understanding, and all my mental activities are spiritual.
Thank you, Eileen. Good to be back on the path. Yes?
That is the clearest, I now have the clearest understanding that I've ever had of how unity works and the metaphysical aspects of reading the text. And I'm just going to thank you a lot. That was profound. Thank you.
It's time for our healing prayer. If you would like to focus our collective group healing energy for someone, you can speak out their name or hold them quietly in your hearts. Members of our church have requested we send out healing prayers and energy to all people and animals displaced by war and natural disasters. The members of our communities who struggle to meet basic human needs, those we have lit candles for, and those you can mention now. I would mention our ongoing healing prayers for Fred and Dixie and Hallie. And our friend Beth is asking for prayers. She has just had a miserable night and has had her issue identified as shingles in her ear. And she's back from the emergency room and asking for us to hold her in prayer over that healing. So anyone else you would like to mention? Beloved Mother, Father, God, we ask for the highest and greatest good for all and endeavor to see them through your eyes, knowing all is in divine order. Amen. And now it's our opportunity to give. We are so grateful to be the spirit of generosity by giving of our time, talent, and treasure. We welcome each of these gifts from you as a member of our spiritual community. Let's say our offering prayer together as we hold our offering in our hands and hearts. Divine love, through me, blesses and multiplies all that I have, all that I give, all that I receive, and all that I am. Let's say our blessing of thanks together. We bless these gifts and send them forth to heal, bless, and prosper. They are evidence of our faith and belief. They do good work in the world and return to us multiplied abundantly, and so it is. And let's say our prayer of protection together. The light of God surrounds us. The love of God enfolds us. The power of God protects us. The presence of God watches over us. Wherever we are, God is, and all is well. And let's stand and form a circle and join hands as we prepare for the Song of Peace. And while you're moving, let's take a moment to thank the people who made our service possible. Eileen for her talk, Dallas and Linda for the great music, Johnny for the fabulous slides, Jerry for the great reminder in his reading, Tom for the technical stuff, and you all for being here. And join us downstairs for food and fellowship. And next week, Dr. Daria Funches will be us. I need more dark green.
Okay. I'm supposed to do it now?
Yeah, we're good.
Okay, Dale.